So I'm sorry, parents, you might have a new tree growing in your lawn. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Now, how many of you, when you heard that first lesson today, was like, what in the world is he going to use this for today? How many of you thought that? So, now, I included it because in my estimation, it contains one of the saddest verses in the whole Bible. And the verse I'm referring to is found in verse 46:17, which reads, according to the New Living Translation, they will say Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is a loudmouth who missed his opportunity. Sometimes I like using different versions of the Bible just because of these types of wording. Again, this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, and you might ask yourself, well, why, Paul? Why is this such a sad verse? It's because Pharaoh rules one of the most advanced ancient civilizations on earth. I mean, just think of his influence. Think of his wealth. The resources of his kingdom, which were at his disposal. But he missed his moment. The opportunity came and went, and Pharaoh, seeing it, did not seize it, and was quite the waste. Now, the English word opportunity comes from the Latin phrase, ob opportu. In the days before modern harbors, ships had to wait until the flood tide to make it into port. Now, the Latin phrase, opportu, referred to the moment in time when the tide would return. The captain and crew would wait for the window of opportunity to open because they knew if they missed it, they'd have to wait until the next tide came in. In August of 1987, Howard Schultz was faced with the biggest decision of his life. He was president with the opportunity to purchase a small chain of coffee shops, which you might have heard of before, Starbucks. The price tag was $4 million. To Schultz, it seemed like an overwhelming undertaking. He felt like the case of the salmon swallowing the whale. In his autobiography, he recalls this moment and says, if I didn't seize the opportunity, if I don't step out of my comfort zone and risk it all, if I let too much time tick on, my moment will pass. I knew that if I didn't take advantage of this opportunity, I would replay it in my mind for my whole life, wondering, what if? I wonder when we hear stories like this, we think to ourselves, well, he had the perfect situation, didn't he? But guess what? He didn't. He wasn't a multimillionaire going into this venture. Actually, he was only earning $75,000 a year at his job. But I bet he asked some of the same questions we ask of ourselves daily. I bet he asked when he was thinking of a decision, am I qualified enough to do this? Or am I too qualified to do this? Do I have too many other problems going on in my life so that I can try this? Am I way too busy? In a sense, all of us, and I bet him, ask themselves, hey, am I really ready? Now, because I like keeping you on your toes and I misordered the questions for today, we're going to answer the last question on your worship notes first. Now, the answer for that is, if you wait for the perfect conditions to seize an opportunity, you'll be waiting till the day you die. Again, if you wait for the perfect conditions to seize your opportunity, you'll be waiting till the day you die. Because we're never going to be 100% ready. But believe it or not, we're in good company. Because even Jesus wasn't ready for his first miracle at the wedding of Cana. Remember, he said to his mom at this time, hey, mom, my time hasn't come yet. But Jesus' mom loved him so much, she said, no, son, they need wine. And Jesus said, well, bring some water. And then a miracle happened. I know what some of you might be thinking right now. Paul, what if I missed my opportunity? What if I should have turned left instead of right? But looking at the Bible, we see that we have a God of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth chances. I mean, Moses ran away for 40 years, but God reopened the door of opportunity for him. The grace of God has no expiration date. Let me say that again because it bears repeating. The grace of God has no expiration date. I believe God will keep opening doors of opportunity as long as we live. However, I don't know about you, but I don't want to wait 40 years to get going on mine. Life is too short. And we can do this when we seize on our opportunities. Now, because of where we're at in time and space today, I think it's also important to say that Ben, you know, the guy who killed that lion in the pit on the snowy day, didn't become the head commander of the whole Israel army after this one thing. It took time. This hasn't changed in our lives. Very rarely do we start at the bottom and jump to the top all within a single day or with all within a single event. However, dreams are achieved one opportunity at a time. And our gospel lesson highlights this fact very well. So please grab those Bibles in front of you and turn to page 816. We're looking at Mark 4, 30 to 32 if you're using Bible apps. Again, that's on page 816. And as you're getting there, let me explain what's going on again. So this is very early in Jesus' ministry. He's teaching a group of people, a large group of people, so much so that he was at the cabin at the lake, and so he had to step into his boat on his pontoon, as I like to think about it, and he was telling them about the kingdom of God, what God was like, and he uses this teaching. So we start in verse 30. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It's like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on the earth, yet when it's sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The genealogy of success always traces back to the mustard seed opportunities, and we need to make the most of them. Most of us fail to seize these small opportunities because we're looking for those home run opportunities. But Scripture reminds us, do not despise these small beginnings. And here's the answer to that first question on your worksheet. We've got to prove ourselves with the small opportunities present when the small opportunities present themselves. And when we do, God will bring bigger and better opportunities our way. Again, we got to prove ourselves when the small opportunities present themselves. And when we do, God will bring better and bigger opportunities our way. So you're probably asking yourself at this point, well, Paul, how do we get this ball rolling? How do we find these God-given opportunities? And as always, I'm really glad you asked that today because it involves something that's supposed to be a part of every Christian's DNA. Are you ready for it? Prayer. All we need to do is begin to find and work on our small opportunities is to make our prayer lives more serious. And if we're honest with ourselves, one of our greatest spiritual shortcomings is our low expectation in prayer. You see, when our prayer lives are hitting on all eight cylinders, we can believe God for everything. But when we are in a prayer slump, we have a hard time believing God for anything. And low expectations are the byproducts of our prayerlessness. But prayer has a way of God sizing our expectations. Also, the more we pray, the higher our expectations. And if we want to make the most of every opportunity, we've got to devote ourselves to prayer. We need to be watchful. And the word watchful is a throwback to the Old Testament watchmen whose job was it to sit on those city walls, scan the horizon, and keep watch. They were the first ones to see an attacking army or traveling traders. People who live in prayer mode are watchmen. They see further than others see. They see things before others see them, and they see things other people don't see. People who live in prayer mode see opportunities that other people don't even notice. People who don't live in prayer mode are opportunity blinded. Now, there's two ways we live our lives. We can either live in survival mode or prayer mode. And I think a lot of us know what survival mode is because that's where we're in right now. Survival mode is simply reacting to the circumstances around us. It's a pinball-like existence. And I don't know about you, but to be perfectly honest, when I live in survival mode, it's anxiety-filled. Prayer mode is the exact opposite. Your spiritual antenna is up and your radar is on. Prayer puts you in a proactive position. In fact, the Aramaic word for prayer means to set a trap. Prayer helps us to catch the opportunities God throws our way. Living in prayer mode is different between seeing coincidences and providence. Prayer has a way of helping us to recognize that what we might dismiss as simply a human accident are really divine appointments. And all I know from my personal experience is this, that when I pray, God, things happen. When I don't pray, they don't. Now let me take some of the pressure off now. You don't have to manufacture these opportunities. In fact, you can't manufacture them at all. That's part of God's portfolio. God is preparing God's work in advance. And that ought to give us some sense of destiny. We have plenty of God-ordained opportunities in our lives. And our job is simply to see and seize these opportunities by tuning into that still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. And you'll be simply amazed at the way the Spirit whispers gets us to where God wants us to go. Because we're in prayer mode, as lion chasers, we're able to do the answer to the second question on your worship notes, which is, lion chasers don't let what they can't do keep them from doing what they can. Lion chasers don't let what they can't do keep them from doing what they can. So this week, I invite you to start working on getting into prayer mode. Talk to God daily. Ask God to begin to let these small opportunities for God's plan for your life to bubble up. Start looking around in your life. There's no age requirement for this. You can be, how old is Cooper? 3 months. Or over 90 years old. God still has opportunities for you. So I don't want to hear, well, Pastor, I'm too old, or Pastor, I'm too young. God doesn't say that. God uses everybody. So think about that. And start using your spiritual antenna and radar and seeing where these opportunities arise and then take them. And let me know when these happen, because these are awesome things to talk about. But I'm not going to lie, it can be scary. But life is too short. Let's all begin to live the lives that we're supposed to live and that God needs us to live. Amen.